affirmative defense that the defendant at the time he engaged in conduct did not know the facts or conditions responsible for such incapacity and consent. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
On page 59.
Area we're really dealing with the adult. Or done. Principally, we're talking about the intoxicated female, the female under
drugs,
the influence of narcotics. We're talking about the
the
woman
the male
with such a mental disease or defect that she beg your pardon?
Or the male for that matter.
Or the male, yeah. And he's going to have to, and the state is going to have to prove that this adult was not able to consent. That's going to be a part of the proof of the case, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to start out proving that the adult was unable to consent. Then he's going to have to come back and probably take the stand, unless he has unusual evidence, and say that I didn't know that. And he's going to have to state facts as to why he didn't know that.
Could you ever...
It's true, because... The state would have to negative to prove there was
they
in
have
fact
prove.
No consent.
They have to prove he was a person was incapable of giving it. They'll have to prove that they had a mental defect or intoxicated.
How would that? Would it normally go on the basis that the act was done without the consent, and the defendant would put on evidence that there was in fact consent, and then the prosecution would show that the consent was invalidated because of or ineffective because of helplessness or whatever.
We follow the first policy decision, though. There's going between two consenting adults.
Well, I'm just trying to think. Of course, if the case is fully, it's not like last clear chance, but what I mean is that the proof of the act, the rape, without consent and the whole bit, that's a bad analogy. I'm aging quickly.
But you got to have the woman on the stand. And they're going to say, what happened? She's going to say, I woke up and he was engaged in sexual intercourse, but...
did you consent?
Completing the act.
And
you consent to that.
And she'll say, no, I didn't consent. And there's her charge, right? And he'll get on there and say, yes, she did too consent. That's my defense.
I'm not sure that's what we're talking about, though.
No.
I don't think the DA in this kind of case is going to go in there and have her testify that she consented. He's going to plead, and he's going to plead that there was no consent. And then in his case in chief, he's going to put in evidence showing why there wasn't consent, incapacity.
I think that's probably true.
In other words, and then as a matter of law, once that comes in, if there's evidence showing that she's mentally defective or this sort of thing, then that would be tantamount to no consent. I don't think they'd wait for the, they wouldn't, I don't think you'd approach a case like that where you'd have her testify that she did consent and then wait for the defendant to say, well, yes, she did. You're going to establish she didn't consent and why in your case in chief.
We get thinking only of forcible rape, you see, and
yeah,
you've got to look at this about this matter of the victim. Let's take the case of the victim who is mentally defective as to be unable to form the capacity to consent or form the intent to consent or to consent. We're talking about that. We say then it's up to the actor to prove that at the time of the engaging the conduct, he did not know of the facts or conditions responsible for such incapacity. Boy, you see,
they've got to prove no consent to start with.
Well, this is
now this 23-year-old mentally retarded woman on the stand, and they're going to have to prove somehow that she didn't consent.
Well, let's look at it this way: we come in with first. Let's just take what we're at here for a minute. We come in first. The state says, "Okay, this was forcible intercourse against this woman's will," and the guy is going to. This is not the courtroom attitude, but this is the logical thing. This was forcible intercourse. And and the defendant says, well, no, well, gee, she consented, she went willingly. The state says, oh, she couldn't consent, though, because she has an IQ of 65, and she doesn't, she's incapable of consenting. She, you know, she's in and out of the institution all the time. And then he is coming back and saying, but good God, at the time that, I know that now, I look at her and so on, the clear light of date and so on, but at the time of engaging in the conduct, constituting the offense, I did not know of the facts or condition responsible for her incapacity to consent. Although she clearly appeared to me to consent, I didn't know she was feeble-minded.
But someone has to testify initially that it was forcible. Yeah.
But you see, I think we keep mixing up two things here in our conversation about capacity to consent and so on.
Well, for example, rape in the second degree, the way that that's drafted on page 22, you see, that's an element of the crime.
Yeah, it's an element of the crime. Then you have to look back in your definitions to see, for example, what mental defect is.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is if you're charging somebody with second degree rape under this, you're going to have to plead that in your indictment.
All right, how about the intoxication test, either by liquor or by narcotics, an adult, and she comes in the day later and says, I've been forcibly raped by this guy. His defense is, the heck, which is 99% of the cases, as I understand it, there was no rape, she totally consented. Now, I suppose a good investigator would determine right then, this is where I'm the analogy of last clear chance, the DA's got to determine whether he's going to stand on the basis of her testimony that she didn't give consent, or whether he'll admit that she gave consent but then try to argue that she was incapacitated.
That'd be a different crime, though, wouldn't it? A different crime.
Yeah,
it's a different penalty. Or presumably, maybe different penalty. I would think so.
Now, if for some other reason, say because of her age or something, you could get into some other statutory crime, then I don't think, you know, if the DA is just going to go on the basis that there wasn't any consent and she was under the, well, that's not going to work either, because if she's under the age, then there's no consent anyway, and you're pleading lack of consent because of the age. But it seems to me that rape in the second degree, and you're proceeding on that theory that there was maybe factual consent, but there wasn't legally any consent. She may have said, yeah, okay, that's fine, George, but that she was suffering from mental defects. You're going to have to plead that, and you're going to allege he committed second degree rape because the with Johnny Belinda and then and there, you know, suffering from a mental defect. And then he's going to raise the defense, all right, but I didn't know this.
All right, the DA is going to have to decide in the first instance the whole bag, isn't it? Whether he believes her on the question of consent, because...
Oh yeah, it's going to be a question of what kind of facts he's got, you know, to work with.
He's going to have to decide if he's going to go on the
rape
or
the consent, or the rape
consensual
consent,
or forcible rape charge, or the second degree rape where there just could have been no consent.
Yeah, because if you say, well, my victim didn't consent, then you get into forcible compulsion, that sort of thing, which would take you into the first degree.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but it's a lesser included,
isn't it? Is it? No,
now, if it isn't lesser included,
that's interesting.
If it's not lesser included, I'll get off my horse. But I just, and I'm probably taking down a path that's not particularly relevant anyway.
Well, it's so easy to, as we start resolving this language, to always start thinking about one circumstance and resolving it for it, and forgetting that it applies to rape and to sodomy.
Yeah, that's right.
To remember that it applies to. Can apply to conduct between two persons of the same sex, where one is in a physical or helpless condition, for instance, as distinguished from mental incapacity, and drugs, where supposing that an act of lesbianism is committed upon a woman, and the question is that the woman says, well, I thought she was just pretending unconsciousness out of embarrassment, because she wanted to go, but she didn't want to let me know she wanted to go. And the other one saying, well, that's a bunch of baloney, and I was truly unconscious. I mean, I was trying to raise some other situation so we don't just think of this language in the context of forcible rape.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah. But in any event, with respect to where we're putting the burden here, New York, which has this defense and frames it in terms of an affirmative defense, defines affirmative defense as burden on the defendant to prove by a preponderance of the evidence.
Are we going to define affirmative defense?
Yeah, I think we should.
And maybe all we ought to do is in 2 and 3, before the word defense, put in affirmative defense, because that's what we're saying.
We haven't really had to do it up to now, because every place we've used it, we've spelled it out.
Oh, well, all right.
But it may be that we'll want to put in something in there to make it clear that not so much for what we're drafting now, but for later statutes, and maybe assuming this is ultimately enacted and then later on amended with new statutes or something, that we'd have some general provision in there with respect to the word. Probably be a good thing to have in there. But
I wouldn't want that case you just posed. I don't think you'd get very far in your habits. Just been rolling your past recent example around, and I was trying to think how you might convince a jury of that.
By golly, I think that you might easily convince the jury of pretense. There's a hell of a lot of pretense of unconsciousness by one party or the other.
Why don't we take a little break here before we go on for a few minutes?
What's our schedule today?
On the mistake as to consent, I'd like to suggest that we make it consistent by placing the burden on the defendant.
Okay. I'll move.
By a preponderance of the evidence.
On the fourth line, to add after proof by a preponderance of the evidence. All those in favor, see it by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay.
Okay.
Well, shall we try to jump into the rape? Figuratively. Whoopee. Page 22.
Right. Third degree and second degree and first degree. Now, the way these are framed, on this question of lesser included, I don't really think they are lesser included.
Okay.
Okay, third degree would be if the female is less than 16. First question, you would like 16.
Well, the first question is it, I always remember reading a story about the man that claimed he was raped by the three women at gunpoint. And I suppose one might say that's extremely unlikely.
It's not covered under the
But rape. It's not covered
rape
under
of a man by a woman.
I'm not interested in protecting him, to tell the truth.
No, this
he just doesn't know how
this
good
doesn't
he is.
Envision any, this doesn't envision any rape of males any place through here.
Well, I just want to make it clear. We're all in danger, gentlemen.
There is a penalty in here somewhere for forcible sodomy, I take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because homosexual rape apparently is becoming quite a problem in correctional institutions.
Yeah.
Both male and female.
Yeah.
You'd also have it covered by an assault charge, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, it could be assault.
Yeah.
Okay.
A hell of a lot of trouble out of Rocky Butte on this.
Is 16 the magic age, gentlemen? Means less than 16, I'm sorry. 15 or younger?
Yeah.
How long has it been 16? Have any idea? Do we go back to the turn of the century, that being the magic age of... This is what you brought up earlier, Bud. The fact that times have changed since 1910.
Well, here, of course, we're saying.
But we do
we're
add
saying he's
got to
be 4 years older. We're getting away from the 17-year-old and the 15. What is it now in statute? The boy has to be above 18, or is it above 16 that he has to be, Don?
I think it's 18.
You got it right handy there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 18 for statutory rape. There is
no, it's 16.
16.
Any person over the age of 16.
Well, we're getting away from the 16 and the 15-year-old who live side by side and have been experimenting lately.
Yeah.
Okay. You get into the 4 year. The 4 year spread, I think, gets you. Mm-hmm. We went to 12 on the other, so we're saying that in effect you're going to have at least 16 and 12.
Okay.
Here and 16-year-old boy's got no business fooling around with a 12-year-old anyhow.
I'm not subsection.
No, this is almost the...
Now, sub 2 is the... is in there to take care of these situations, which probably aren't very common, but there are some old cases on it, not that we have any, but where there's a
false ceremony.
Trickery, you know, trickery practice upon her. She goes through a bogus ceremony, or one where she thinks she's in bed with her husband, but it really isn't. It's too dark to tell or something, you know.
Are we saying that, a male of 19 years of age cannot commit rape?
In what degree?
A third degree.
Yeah.
No.
12 and 18. 12 and or 14 and 18. Isn't that right?
Girl's 15, the boy's 19. He grabs her and has intercourse with her.
What if the girl's 14 and he's 18?
Yeah, same way.
Girl 13 and he's 17.
Okay,
he can be convicted.
No.
Well, now you get down to the second degree, you see, if she's less than 14 and he's more than 18, then you get in the second degree.
I see.
Well, I don't... What's the theory behind the four-year spread? Why do we benefit the...
I think you could say this on that, Wally. At those ages, the percentage spread is tremendous. You see, you're getting a percentage spread of about a third. Take the girl 12, well, take the girl 14, you get the boy 18, 4 years there is 4/14. It's a tremendous percentage spread, and also a worldliness spread, let's face it.
What, do you look at it as closing a gap or opening it? I call it opening.
Oh, I do too, in the sense of consenting relationships.
It does open, yeah.
Well, why do we... What social demand?
And they're closer, when they're so close together in age, there's less chance that the boy is taking advantage of her because of his...
Well,
there's a consenting relationship between the 16 and 15-year-old.
Yeah, this is aimed, I think, primarily at teenage experimentation.
Right. You get a kid who's 16 and 15, and there isn't this. But once that boy gets to where he's, let's assume we're assuming boy against girl here, it's female phrase, but you get to 19 and 15. My God, he's got too much edge there.
Well, this would permit it, would it not? In other words, if a boy 19 who could be a sophomore in college has intercourse with a 15-year-old girl who would be a sophomore, could be a sophomore in high school, and that, I agree with you, is a heck of a spread.
Well, let's to make
then it is not rape.
Yes, if he is one day over 4 years older.
Okay, well. One day under 4 years.
One day under four? No, but if you're going to draw the line someplace, you see, it's just like we draw it now. It's a,
yeah, but now he'd be guilty of and he'd go down substantially. A boy under 16, if the girl's 15, I'm with you. But as the guy gets 16, 17, 18, and of course just short of 19, I don't really have much this experimentation on a 14-year-old if you're 18. No, sir. I don't buy that a bit.
Well, she could be 15, be a sophomore in high school, and you have 18-year-old seniors every now and then. Every year you could have them in the same social environment.
Oh, I think that's fairly common.
Well, I think what we're saying, though, is that...
As common as it can be.
But it's just not rape.
It is. It wouldn't be under this language, no.
If you're within that four-year spread, it's not going to be rape.
Right. And the girl's over 12.
Yeah, right.
If she's under 12, not going to, no matter what the spread is, if it's 1 year, it's not going to save the...
Okay, well, no fixed notion one way or another.
Well, there's a policy one way and a policy the other. Let's face it. At present, which is a very common thing, you got the 15-year-old girl and the 16 or 17-year-old boy, they're going together, they're living in they live in the same neighborhood, maybe they don't even go together, maybe they're just next-door neighbors and the parents are away at one house or the other every Saturday afternoon or something, down at the local church.
They go together and she gets pregnant.
Yeah.
And then the parents say...
All right, you know. Of course, since we could take care of that easily, got that bill passed Thursday. Down to your friendly MD. Now you have to go to friendly criminal abortionist.
Or take a trip to the Orient or something.
Yeah, they do that a lot out of Albina and Portland.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Now, they just go ahead and have them, and then we feed them.
That's right.
About the third generation. Well, our scientists tell us that in 25 years there isn't going to be enough for anybody to eat.
How about on two? He knows the optional. He knows that the female is unaware that a sexual act is being committed on her, upon her, or that she submits because she is falsely supposes he is her husband. This is the coming home late at night. And
I think you ought to cover it. I mean, if the guy, she's asleep and the husband's out on a convention and this joker gets in and disrobes and climbs into bed and she assumes that it's her husband, not killing.
What do we mean by sexual act? Bud gave an example of a crowded bus business here.
Sexual contact we define, but not sexual act.
Yeah. What is? First of all, you have to have sexual intercourse. You don't come in under rape in the third degree. Having a sex act can't be, I don't know what that is, but
yeah.
It is not intercourse. Right. I mean, if it is, so maybe he knows that the female is unaware that that sexual intercourse is being committed upon her.
It's taking place. It's being committed upon her.
It sounds sort of bilateral.
You're going to get back to where you could you prosecute a guy? You can't. God damn it, we should keep these things in mind.
Well, this would go well beyond the sexual intercourse.
Yeah, and I don't think rape. Oh, is it intended that it go? That rape now covers.
No, huh? No, I think that's just bad language.
We want sexual intercourse in there.
Yeah. He's unaware that sexual intercourse is being performed.
Yeah.
With her.
Yes.
We'll get some smart guy arguing the
position. He's out from under.
Yep. Lying side by side.
That's right.
Back to back. Bite the neighbors in.
Okay.
Here somewhere.
All agreement on changing that to something to the effect that sexual intercourse is being.
You do think this should be covered, this provisional?
I think so. Do we not? But let me ask this. Let's divide the question. Is it possible that one would not know that? I guess that's that doctor bit. Huh?
Are we getting into any conflict with our spouse relationship definition?
She could be. I think she could be.
In which they've been living together for several years under the.
Of course, then that goes into the consent business.
Yeah, but are we?
If he doesn't have consent, he's
going
to the
rape
in the first degree.
This we're in rape in the third degree, which doesn't have an element of consent in it, does it? So we come down to, or she submits because she falsely supposes.
Well, I'd assume you have to have consent in rape in the third degree. You don't?
Or acquiescence.
Well, all right.
Acquiescence, because if you don't, you get down to the compulsion by a male, which is rape in the first degree. So you have to have.
Well, the first one covers the situation where the individual, the female, is asleep, unconscious.
Yeah, well, I don't think so.
Doesn't it?
Because if she's asleep, she's not given consent, and then you should get it into. I don't think a guy that sneaks up on somebody when she's asleep.
You're in rape in the second degree, sub one there. She's physical helplessness or mental defect or mental incapacity.
What are we talking about?
If she's asleep,
I think we're
say she's mentally incapacitated at that point from consenting.
Well, what would the difference be between
well,
he knows that the female is unaware that sexual intercourse is being committed?
I think
and
it'd be the doctor
incapable exam. Of consent by reason of incapacity.
But she'd still know, wouldn't she?
Well, we're talking about young, relatively young people, I suspect. You know, and what is the old story? Oh, yeah. The girl's so dumb she thought she was getting artificial respiration.
If this applies to anybody, a sub 2, there's no no age limit.
Oh, yeah, that's the question. What kind of act fits in? What circumstances fit into that? I think
you're opening up a kettle of worms between that and going back to your people living together thing too, because if you put in the last part, because she falsely supposes that he is her husband. Suppose she gets vindictive. But I just found out that son of a gun wasn't my husband.
All this time I suppose that he was.
I want to prosecute him. Of course you're having to assume that the DA is crazy and would do it, but
now that's an assumption I'm willing to make.
Well, I don't, I mean, this is, although there is some question, I suppose, the way this worded, this was intended to get at the mistaken identity situation rather than a false supposition of marriage based on a common law relationship.
But you see, that isn't not necessarily what it says. I just wonder if by putting two in...
Well, you know, you see the derivation of that, that was taken out of the Model Penal Code under a section called gross sexual imposition. And that's defined as...
I could never be guilty of that.
A male who has sexual intercourse with a female, not his wife, commits a felony in the third degree if, and then under then they have three sections. Threat, knowing that she suffers from a mental disease or defect which renders her incapable of appraising the nature of her conduct, or... He knows that she is unaware that a sexual act, now that's where that language came from, sexual act is being committed upon her, or that she submits because she mistakenly supposes that he is her husband. Of course, they use sexual act, and it's okay there because they've modified that with their first paragraph here.
Well, I think
male
you
who has sexual intercourse.
This see. Section here requires sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
Do you suppose that if you're going to put two in, don't you either need to change that so say you say sexual intercourse or say that the act, and it's pretty clear then what the act is, it refers back up into the general language of sexual intercourse, that the act is being committed upon her. It can refer to nothing else, can it?
Well, it shouldn't.
No. And then you don't bring in something, you mean something different by sexual act than you do by sexual intercourse.
You say that the sexual act rather than just a sexual act.
Or do you need to put... sexual intercourse.
Why don't you just say unaware that sexual intercourse?
Why not be specific?
Why invent a new word of act?
Well, I don't like being committed is the only thing.
They say that their section formerly referred to the case of a victim who was, quote, physically powerless to resist. This has been dropped because, taken literally, it would have condemned as rape any intercourse with a person so disabled even with her consent.
Well, Don, could you, a defendant that had sexual intercourse with a woman that was unconscious because she had drank too much, couldn't you prosecute him under either Section 2 under 3 or Section 1 under 4?
I think we get...
You'd have an enhanced penalty under number 4, but he would be guilty of both because she would be unaware that sexual intercourse was being committed upon her and she was also incapable of consent by reason of mental incapacitation.
I don't see what the first part of 2 does that subsection 1 under 4 doesn't do.
Well, I just think if there's any problem, the defendant complaining that you were prosecuting him under second degree.
Would that get us in the same problem of
with an enhanced
the same penalty. Act with the enhanced penalty and giving the DA the right to choose?
The elements would seem to be exactly the same.
The optional one really doesn't, I think Roger, you're probably right, really only gets to the one where she has been tricked into thinking that the guy is her husband, doesn't it? And, well, yeah, because that isn't covered down here in Section 4, because those are incapable of consent by specified reasons. And in Sub 2, you're getting the case where he obtains an invalid consent by, in one way or another, causing her to suppose that he is her husband.
Would everybody be agreeable to strike the sub 2 to strike the first section to the or and retain the second part?
Yeah, I would be.
Of course, there's a distinction between those two sections. I don't think we've got any hang-up by giving the DA too much discretion to choose here, because you've got an added element under 3, and that's knowledge. He knows that she's unaware, and rape in the second degree, she's incapable.
But
there's nothing about
it. But it's
the
defense, isn't it, under subsection 4 that he doesn't?
Yeah, but it's an element of the crime in the third degree. It's if he knows. So you'd have to allege that he knew. Not only that she was unaware, but that he knew about it, which would distinguish that from rape in the second degree.
Yeah, you may have a valid word there. Well, I don't see anything that's going to be earth-shaking about whether we put 2 in or leave it out, frankly. But
I think we need the second part. Yeah. Get somebody to put on a white collar and stand up with that 16-year-old from West Virginia and say, hey, everything's okay now, and she finds out 3 years later after 3 children that it wasn't okay. And you want to cover that. Would there be any crime that would...
We don't want to get into that, though, Harl. Because then she could come back, and as Bud said, if we're going to let... If they live as man and wife, that's going to take them out of the rape and sodomy and this bit. Then we don't want the wife to have the hammer to be coming back.
It says that she supposes, though, that he's her husband.
She falsely supposes that he's her husband.
I think falsely. The model code didn't use the language falsely. It said...
Well, they did.
Correctly, did they?
Well, they did originally, and then it was amended, and I think when Jean went through here, she missed the amendment.
Well,
it was changed to mistakenly.
I think there's a reason for falsely. But at any rate, maybe not.
Well, I'd object to putting it in if it means as to the legal relationship, because we've previously removed, for all practical purposes, as far as rape, sodomy, and the rest of the distinction between any legal relationship of marriage. I wouldn't want to put it back in so that the wife could then claim that she supposed they were married, therefore it now becomes rape.
Here's where you're going to have to cover
between consenting adults, though.
All right, so
they're not married, between consenting adults, and this is, again, getting almost in the area of consent. It's just saying that under those circumstances where she felt she was married and she wasn't, that we're saying that type of consent isn't valid.
It gives the woman who has been living with this guy for 3 weeks or 3 years or 10 years the right to say to him, now look, the law's been changed, we've been having sexual intercourse all this time, I'm going to go down and tell the DA that I supposed all this time you were my husband.
Why?
Now it becomes
why did you suppose?
Because you told me this was a common law statement.
Common law
that we moved in together when we were husband and wife.
Right.
Well, it is.
We're going to get into something else, boy.
I think this means identity.
Okay.
As Alan said earlier, I think it's the guy's gone for convention and a burglar comes in and the woman's half asleep and this sort of thing. I don't think it's intended to cover an invalid marriage scenario.
We'll have to clean up the language.
Is there anything in 2 that's so great that we've got to have it when it raises all these problems?
She could still
that's
charge
all we
him
put in brackets, really.
She could still charge him with assault, couldn't she?
Criminal still assault. Charge him with, yeah.
Could she?
Wouldn't he be guilty under one of the species of assault we had in either this committee or full committee or something?
Or breaking and entering?
Wouldn't
apologize for that.
Wouldn't be guilty of breaking unless you were a virgin.
Let's go on.
I move we.
All right, we delete 2, the optional. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay.
It might be a good idea, since we deleted it, Don, if you just didn't have it in the full committee draft.
If I didn't what?
If it just doesn't appear in the full
committee. It just doesn't appear.
The material for the full committee.
Well, it won't. If the subcommittee takes it out,
it's taken us 25 minutes.
If you've taken it out, it won't be in the draft that goes to the commission. But all commission members have received this draft.
We're all right there.
Yeah, there are none of them. They're just like all the rest of us. Unless it's John Byrne, nobody's bothered to read them all. I'm not saying that because your work isn't good, Don. It's a matter of time.
Yeah, I know. We feel badly every time we put something in the mail, because we know it's just piling up over here. got to get it, get rid of it.
Okay.
Okay, then second degree. Any question on that?
I think this is good, because this is where we get to that one where the kid's 18 and the girl's 13.
Yeah, there the critical age is less than 14.
And this is where that defense will apply to, isn't it?
Yeah, now I just am reluctant to even bring up this question, but you know, in kidnapping, when we talked about the age of 16, we used the language, and the person has not yet reached his 16th birthday. And the reason we use that language, because this was suggested by Judge Sloan. He felt that this would clearly indicate to any judge what you meant, and that there's some question when you just have the age in the statutes.
I thought I read something this morning that covers that. It says that you're deemed that age on the day of your birthday.
Yeah, it's in the commentary.
Oh, is it? I read it somewhere. Yeah. We were reading here this morning. That in all... haven't you got some place in here that in all cases of age, the person reaches the stated age at 12, what do you call it, M, on the morning of the person's anniversary of his birth or something like that?
No, it was mentioned in the commentary. No. I think it's where you read it.
Right.
Yeah, under on page 6, a person is less than 16 years of age within the meaning of up to and including the day before his 16th birthday.
Can't you get a general phrase that we could stick in somewhere that would make the all these ages come in the same up to and including the day before he reaches that? That's a good language. Couldn't you make it general and put it in a section in it somewhere? Definition or something of that kind.
Yeah, we could probably frame a definition.
And then we wouldn't have any interpretation.
Just use it all through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, we'll see if we can come up with something on that. But in any event, I think it's clear what we mean, but if we wanted it to read the same as we had in kidnapping, for example.
Well, now, what by, as far as section 4, number 2, by raising the age of no consent, in other words, inability to consent, to 12, we then have a 1-year period here where you can commit rape of the second in the second degree if the boy is older than 18 and the girl is 13.
Yeah, that would clearly be rape in the second degree.
It was 2 years before.
And if you rape under the same circumstances with the girl's 12, then it would be rape in the first degree.
Yeah, and of course, yeah. First degree, it's not going to make any difference what his age is.
Right.
You're forcible, other than with wife. Forcible in any instance is going to be rape, isn't it?
First degree.
You mean forcible rape on your wife?
No.
No, I say other than with your wife.
Yeah.
In any case where there's forcible compulsion, irrespective of age, we have rape in the first degree.
That's right. Yeah.
I thought that was.
We're not getting away from that, and that wouldn't change our present law.
No.
Well,
if it's forcible rape.
Do we want to leave it 14, or do we want to raise it right now? It's less than 14. What's the significance of 14? Rather than say less than 16.
Well, in the original draft, you were making a distinction between the ages of 10, 14, and 16 in various places.
Yes.
Because even numbers seem to be a fetish with Colette, but
or Gene Laverato.
That's something to do with...
It's like you ought to erase that from the tape, maybe. I take it back. I was only jesting, Doug.
You may be right. I'm
going to have to think about that.
What's your point, Wally, that this would be different than 14? Why?
Yeah, make it an affirmative defense. Why 14? We're only talking we could say if the female is 13 years of age and the male is, well, is 18 years of age or more. That's what we're saying.
We got a two-year period in here, really. If we go back and define age, is that you reach an age, in effect, you are 11 until midnight of the day preceding your 12th birthday. And they would tell you the same thing in connection with 14. You got a period here of 2 years in which you're treating this female child a little differently than you treat her in other respects. You're saying there's a two-year period there when a guy over 18, you may have a problem with over 17, that you go to degree is
okay.
All of that.
See, below the age, we didn't say it quite the same way. Rather than last, we said below.
What I'm getting at is we just a little while ago said, let's try to make all these ages. When we talk about an age, it means the same thing in every instance.
Yeah.
And if we do that, then you've got a two-year period here. Right. You're giving the female child a little bit different protection. So if this is the theory, by reason of the difference in degree that you're going to assign to it.
Yeah, right. It's and like Jean mentions in her commentary here, this all of these ages are pretty arbitrary.
Yes,
she recognized that. But
that's why I have no hesitancy to change.
That's right. And she was just suggesting these, and she noted that she was suggesting these to the commission, knowing that you may want to change them. And
it doesn't create any problem due to the fact that there's an overlapping. In other words, a certain couple could be guilty of either third degree or second degree because of their age. In other words, a 13-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy would be guilty both of third degree, and he would be guilty of both third degree and second degree. Because under third degree, she would be below 16, and he would be at least 4 years older. And under second degree, she would be under 14, and he would be 18 or older.
But we catch in third, if we drop the boy's age down 6 months, let's say, just so that we have 4.5, we catch him under third still. And maybe, as we said, there should be at those ages with that bigger spread in years, there should be a different penalty. And that's what we're really talking about when we talk about third and second and first and so on, is the penalty we're going to assign to him.
I just wondered if the 18-year-old could argue being charged with second degree rape when he could have just as well been charged with third degree. And I would assume it'd be a different penalty.
Well, the only place you would have a problem would be if third degree rape were a misdemeanor, say.
What do we make?
I think they're all going to be felonies.
Think we have any problem.
No, I don't think that you're going to have any misdemeanor rape.
I think you're right. We don't get into this damn business about the DA choosing if we make one of them miss and the other felon.
Yeah, but the mere fact that one criminal act violates two felony statutes isn't fatal. I mean, that's no problem. The court has said that's not. Not what they meant in the Burton case.
I move we adopt Section 4 as it is.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay.
And then second.
Rape of first degree, then two would be female is less than
12
years.
And then sub 3, that language is taken right out of our present statute.
Don, do you think this language now is broad enough to cover the one that's covered in a couple of our cases, or at least one of our cases, says that the guy who helped somebody else rape his wife is guilty of rape?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I just finished a draft on parties to crime, talking about accomplices and that sort of thing, and under that concept, which is no different than our accomplice concept now, he would be able to commit rape. Same way, in fact, we have an Oregon case that says that a female as an accomplice can't commit rape.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Oregon, they're all principles.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no changing that law, by the way.
No.
So, to make it clear, H helps X rape W. Husband helps X rape wife. In that case, husband is guilty of rape along with X.
Yes, he'd be guilty as a principal.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this won't change that at all.
Well, I don't know. Does anybody see any holes in Section 5? I'll move if not.
Okay.
I'll move if we adopt Section 5 as is.
Once you have 3, I'll look at the adoption. As amended. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Carry.
Now, page 34.
I had a great idea to make money back a few years ago before the liberalization of all of our publishing laws and everything when I was in law school. I was going to go find all these juicy cases I could all over the United States, you know, where they could. Then I was going to string them together by little connecting clauses, you know. I was called the American Judiciary Looks at Sex or Sexual Behavior or something, a real scientific thing. It would have been a hotcake seller in those days. And just quote, you know, from the cases. It'd be pretty mild stuff now.
Every time when you go to law school and you open the book and it's set chapter of Oregon, of course, it falls open.
Well, let's hope that it falls open.
Okay, we've got, here again, we've got 3 degrees, in this case, sodomy. We use the term deviant sexual intercourse, which was defined in Section 1. Here again, it's, and specifically, spouse is excluded.
Consenting adults are excluded.
And consenting adults.
You'll be working consenting adults into this as accordance with a previous policy decision as we go along with you.
Yeah, right.
When you work on this again.
Right.
That would be the consenting adults no longer in Oregon could commit sodomy. Male upon male, female upon female. Well, and consenting adults would be 16. Those over 16 would not be adults, but it would be 17 and above. Or 16 and above, right?
Yeah, it's 16 and above.
So it's not really consenting adults, it's consenting.
Yeah, well, that's what it had in mind. Whatever we were giving is the age of consent in sexual matters, and we really have. In our present law, we come to, for all practical purposes, 16. At least, now if I'm dead wrong on that, somebody say so.
Well, now 16 in our present law applies to rape, and statutory rape.
You can have
of course, nothing applies to sodomy in our present law. It's
well, the only exception is our fornication statute, which would apply to a 17-year-old girl.
And a boy is over 18.
Right.
That'd be,
you could have a contributing charge.
Yeah, contributing, though, that's... it's not 16.
Doesn't the fornication statute read the girl has to be 16 or older and the boy... It really applies, I think, only to a 17-year-old girl and a boy 18 or older.
There's, again, we'd be having two...
I think you're right, Roger.
There's something in there. I remember somebody asked me to look that up just recently, too, in connection with something else was on the floor of the Senate. A major.
Well, fornication now is a male over the age of 18 without committing rape carnally knows any female of previous chaste and moral character who is over the age of 16 and under the age of 18.
Right. Well,
they're only talking about 17-year-old girls in that.
How many prosecutions have there been for that in recent years?
I'm not sure. That one I had the other day was a 1919 case, and I don't think there have been many since then. Of course, fornication would be repealed by this draft. That would take
only. When I was a guard at the pen, there wasn't a single person in there for adultery. Not one.
Well, I don't know when the last adultery case, at least but reported all, case, but boy, it goes way back.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is I doubt that you have very many
fornication cases
being prosecuted anywhere either.
No, this would repeal fornication, adultery, yeah, and seduction, and that'd be repealed.
Or if that ever gets out, man,
it's no crime to commit.
Just to put that in your campaign material.
Oh, There's only one crime committed more than hanging bad paper, and that's adultery.
A person engaged in less than 16 to the ages again, and of course I assume you'd want to change 10 to 12 again.
Oh yeah, I thought that took place wherever.
Yeah, wherever it appears. Okay. Now of course this, as you know, this really makes one of the biggest policy changes in our present law, and this is one of the areas that a lot of states are having trouble with. They're going both ways on this thing, and it's.
I wish you would watch your choice of words.
I don't know. This doesn't seem to be coming out right.
Don, I note that in the sodomy, in the rape situation, we also covered the sister, the daughter, the stepdaughter in the first degree rape, and we didn't do it with first degree sodomy. It was written under 16, first degree rape. That conduct is with those people is first degree rape. Here we don't address ourselves to those relationships.
I would think it should be. In fact, statistically, it's more common than rape.
Yes.
If the rape is a criminal activity under those circumstances, it was the sodomy would be.
There could be a policy argument the other way on that too, Roger. Yeah, I would agree with you. It's probably more common. However, the act of rape upon the close member of the family, of the household, who is related either by law or by blood.
Possibility of pregnancy.
Yeah, the possibility of pregnancy is there. Where there is no possibility of pregnancy by the...
saying we're going to reward discretion?
Well, that may be what we're saying, all right, but... I don't know.
Are we going to come to...
I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other.
This would, if we don't make sodomy a crime in a certain circumstance, it wouldn't be contributory, would it?
I think
Well, that's right. As I say, if somebody wants to put it in, I have no objection putting it in.
I'm inclined to put it in unless we think we've got enough under, if it would hold under contrib.
I move we put it in, we can talk about it in the full committee. See what their feeling is on it. But I,
Well, under your sodomy statute, if you put it in, would that apply only to females? Or would it apply to a male stepson as to his... stepmother.
Well, we'd have to use a little different language, I think.
That kid's bitching, let him bitch.
Well, how about would it or would it not be under a new contributory
section of intercourse?
If
I kind of doubt that it would.
I think that'd be a gross.
The victim, you don't want to speak about victim, because you wouldn't want to confine this to female. And you could have father against son when
that's
we
right.
get to this.
Stepfather against stepson.
If the victim is less than 16 years of age and is the actor's brother, sister of the whole or half blood, is son or daughter, or his spouse's son or daughter.
Mm-hmm. That's your motion, Harold?
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Carry.
If that language bothers you when you're writing it up, Don, why don't you feel free to reword it a little bit better, but I think that's the idea, because we're getting into a, as Roger pointed out, into a quite a bit different situation here.
Okay, without the necessity of a formal motion, I deem we approve section 6, 7, and 8 as amended. Okay, where next?
We were pretty well past the
45, right.
Hardcore pornography there.
What What were those last sessions we just got? Sections? What were their numbers?
6, 7, 8.
6, 7, and 8.
Oh, they were 6, 7, 8.
Section 9, sexual abuse in the second degree, and section 10, sexual abuse in the first degree. Here's now the key phrase here is sexual contact. And that was means any touching of the sexual or other intimate parts of a person not married to the actor for the purpose of arousing or gratifying the sexual desire of either party. So you'd have that plus no consent or incapacity to consent. Then we've got a defense in there. The actor to prove the victim's lack of consent was due solely to incapacity by reason of being less than 16 years of age. The alleged victim was more than 14 and the actor was less than 4 years older than the alleged victim. That's, if you wanted to keep that, that should be restructured, I think, to make it clear. Be read in the conjunctive. I think all three of those would have to apply to put the defense in play.
What's the thinking behind that? Just to remove the experimentation?
They are conjunctive.
You got to prove A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Got the defense.
Yeah. But what I meant was, I think we could set it out so it'd read a little clearer. I was trying to find her commentary on this. here it is on page. Consensual sexual contacts between adults are not prohibited. Makes it the defense to the defendant when the circumstances are specified. The purpose of this defense is to exclude from criminal sanctions certain activity by adolescents, i.e. the necking party between a 14, 15, or 60-year-old victim and another young, though criminally responsible person of slightly greater age. It is anticipated the age of criminal responsibility will be 14 in the final proposed code, and 14 is the age that we've got in there now in our responsibility. All right. So that's the purpose of the defense. Around the young kids. But it's phrased in terms of a defense rather than an exemption, which here again we've got the same questions about.
We cover the 2-year period.
Burden of proof and whatnot.
The experimentation between 14 and 16.
The victim would have to be more than 14.
Less than 16. Well, what does A mean? And more than 14.
Yeah, right.
Those two A.
I see that some court had the sense to take up my foot rubbing case and say no soap.
That's what Gene talked about. Second paragraph from the bottom of page 46 requires the touching being for the purpose of arousing or gratifying the sexual desire of either party, thus inadvertent touching the intimate parts of a person, such as a crowded elevator, do not constitute sexual contact.
Yeah, but you get down to the one where you do actually, and they got this question of a crime involving sexual perversity down at the bottom of 47. The prosecution, and rejecting the prosecution's interpretation, the court said the prosecution in reliance upon statements found in learned dissertations on abnormal psychology has urged upon the court that any act of physical contact by a male person with the body of a female person with intent to causing sexual satisfaction to the actor constitutes an act of sexual perversity. Whatever may be said by the psychiatrist concerning this theory, we reject it as unreasonable, arbitrary, and unconstitutional criterion when applied to a criminal statute. So they can't get the guy who rubs his foot against the gal's foot in the bus and leaves the bus in a languid condition.
Comments on sexual abuse.
Do you really think you're going to have to do anything there with your sub 2, Don?
Well, it just kind of bothers me having them all jumbled up like that.
Okay, well, you could just say in any prosecution, you just put down your A, B, and C in a row.
Yeah, that's after what I meant. That's, yeah, and put an
with and. Well, the and is already there.
Yeah.
All right, sexual abuse in the first degree. All right, we'll consider that one approved. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Anything else? We go to the Oregon?
Well, I can't, but we have...
The one you and I did.
Yeah, we've got kidnapping to go to the full commission, and we have some general definitions I'd like to have the full commission go over. And, but I don't know if we're going to be able to have a meeting before you adjourn or not. Maybe the general feeling among the legislative members is that you don't want to meet in the commission before you adjourn.
I told Tony that I just don't see how I can.